Good morning. Good morning. Okay. We do have a theme for today, and it is called Deconstruction of a Fantasy. In speaking with someone last week, the idea came up to deconstruct the false idea of who you are. And so the request was for us to review how to do that. Okay. So for in this moment right now, just rest back in the real. Just take your breath. Recognizing that there is no person here to speak and that there is no person here to be listening. The Supreme Spirit alone is. So we're leaving everything aside for these few moments that we are together. We're leaving all thoughts. We're leaving all memories and judgments. And we're leaving future projections. We're resting just in this moment, focused only on this moment. So we're going to release it all. And we're releasing the illusion of time. The illusion of a today. And the illusion of a tomorrow. We're even leaving the idea of a now. Just leave it all. All the ideas. Leaving all of the opinions and the concepts, just laying it aside and resting in the silence of our being. We are resting in the real. That which is unreal has no existence. You are consciousness aware. Whether you have accepted it or not, you are that. The unborn, infinite, formless, unchanging presence. So take a breath. Rest back and listen to how we create a fantasy. Okay. So, what fantasy do you think was created that can be deconstructed? What fantasy that was created could use deconstruction. Okay. Well, it could be the fantasy story that was created. And it's created by believing the thoughts, feelings, emotions, and sensations, and then claiming them to be about me. This me that is the body and the thoughts. So, what are fantasies built on? What do we need to create a fantasy? We would need to have imagination. All stories begin with an imaginative idea. So we're going to take some time now and see if we can find how we all created the story of me. Now, part of the fantasy of a separate me and others can be recognized if you will just take a good look at what we commonly call different. Or dissimilar, or unusual, or another. Those are all synonyms for different. But in order for us to deconstruct something, including a fantasy story, we must know how it was constructed in the first place. If you want to take something apart, you begin by looking to see how it was put together. So rest back. So most commonly, the fantasy really begins when the form called woman is impregnated. At the discovery on being the host for a seed to grow to a mature state, the labeling starts there. First, with a name for the growing form. That is the form's first label. And then perhaps the other forms, called mother and father, which had the same fantasy beginnings, may begin to even create projections as to how the life will be lived, what schools it is going to attend. Perhaps even which college or university They may even begin to make preparations and plans for the time that this form goes to a college. They contemplate or project what career path this form might follow. Even perhaps what sports the form could participate in. At coming into visibility, conjectures may be made that the form looks like other forms that are called father, or the form called aunt or an uncle. The form now has a few more labels. So, in the imagination of the forms called parents, the story for the new form begins. Now, as the form grows and becomes conscious of itself as another form, another body, it is aware of the body form, and when the label for the recognized form is called, this body form responds to that call, believing now that it is the body with a specific label that designates himself or herself, depending on the shape of the form. That label of designation must conform to what is called the gender, and the gender being another label. So it's like in school when the teacher calls roll, and if you are present, raise your hand. The name or the label is spoken, and the body mind that the label is attached to responds by raising the hand to acknowledge that it, the form, is present. But again, now accepting that the form is what he or she is. So let's take just a moment and just imagine all the labels that have been attached to the body. Starting with I. I is tall, short, or lean, or perhaps stout. It is young, old, and has a specific skin color from others. It may decide that it is pretty or not pretty. And for the mind, it may be given the labels of being smart or intelligent. Or perhaps not so smart. But the author of the story repeats and repeats the labels, both out loud and internally. And the author begins to believe it is the body it is writing about. I am tall. I am stout. I am smart. I am stupid. And the labels become I. I am rather short. Wish I was taller. I am not as pretty as my friend Sally. Wish I was pretty, that I was smart like her. So, of course, the body mind goes through its natural changes, gets older looking, but by now, you, consciousness, is claiming in the story, I am getting older, when it is the body form that is changing. Or my body doesn't work so well anymore. I have arthritis now. My back hurts. I can't eat the foods I used to be able to eat. So it is probable that you have many more adjectives. More adjectives and words and labels about the individual mind body. As we continue in entertaining thoughts of separation, it is rather like repeatedly telling a child that they could never be strong. They would never understand that thoughts that come are not a power. Telling them that thoughts and emotions and feelings are a power. And telling them that they cause them suffering. Telling them that they'll never understand that they are the essence of life. And life is difficult. and telling them that they might never get the recognition of being who they are already. So, what kind of a story would that child create? Given those instructions. But you need to see that that is what you are doing when you repeatedly accept the thoughts, the emotions, the feelings, and the mind stuff, and telling yourself that they have a power, that they are strong. And in this doing is when we deny the very presence that we are. Begin to recognize that when you speak an untruth to yourself, that is your teaching. It is spoken, even if it is spoken only in mind, which you think is silently, or even spoken aloud. That is your teaching. You are teaching yourself with each acceptance of a non-truth that you attach to. You are creating a story of your own teaching. Oh, I'll never get there. This is difficult. I have to read more. I have to study more. I have to work harder. I have to do more practices. I have to read more books. I have to go to more meetings. This is your teaching. You are creating your own teaching. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. I'm getting there. That is your teaching. Recognize the power of your own words. So the mind is looking now for something to confirm this story that this spiritual path gives. It wants to confirm. Mind wants to confirm. It seems that way, that it would like to confirm that it is the presence. It will see and read, and it will try to confirm what it already is. What already is needs no confirmation. You do not have to confirm that the sun is shining. It already is. But the thing is that this confirmation, it cannot and it will not happen through mind, through thoughts, through thinking. It will not be a feeling. It will not be an emotion, and it will not be a thought. So if you can see now that this is how the story creation began, but can you see clearly how you may still be perpetuating that fantasy story, a separation? It all takes place within mind, what we call mind. It takes place with the thoughts that come that are not true, and yet we accept them as truth. We attach to them. We live them as if they were real. So, kind of in a nutshell, that is how we have created this fantasy of being a separate person based only on differences of appearances. Differences of appearances of bodies and cultures. The whole fantasy of separation is pretty much solely based on our viewing differences as separation. So, now that we know how the story is constructed, how do we go about deconstructing this fantasy of labels? I know most of you have probably heard the class or was in the class or the Sunday talk on removing labels and seeing the labels for what they were. They're only there to accommodate spoken words. That's all. They're not really there to define. It's when we take the labels off that we absolutely recognize what is already there. So how can we deconstruct this fantasy of labels? Well, good news. Basically, it happens automatically as we open to loving our neighbor as ourselves. That sounds lofty, but the recognition comes that you are what you call neighbor. You are your own neighbor. Why? Because the presence is not a body. The presence is not a form. The presence is the essence that is life. That is what you are. That is what the neighbor is. Recognizing that the labels are nothing more than descriptions of an appearance, and that labels do not, I repeat, labels do not report what is actually there. Okay, and what is there? Again, it is the only something that can be there, the one self, the one presence, the God consciousness, the absolute, the source, however you choose to call what is that infinite, formless presence. That's all that is here. That is all that is anywhere. And it has no labels. We only use words in an attempt to point to it. So the only thing that is present is you. And as we have spoken many times before, the devotion to just watching thoughts and seeing beyond labels, appearances, is what brings about awareness, brings it to the forefront. Okay? It is what does deconstruct the story you have built. It may even still be building about yourself. This devotion to watching thoughts, so simple, so simple. Devotion to watching thoughts. The world that you see through mind thoughts is not the world that is there. Again, when you see through mind thoughts, when you are seeing through the glass darkly, you are not seeing what is there. And the world that you are seeing is not the world that is there. When we use a constant projection of imagination, then that imagining is what we see and what we believe that we are truly living. Okay. We're living our imagination, or we're living in a world that doesn't exist as we see it to exist. So we project this fantasy about a me and a mine and a you and a they. And we live in the fantasy as if it were real. And the simplicity of deconstruction is just to be in devotion, watching thoughts, and seeing beyond labels and appearances. The real is within. And we just take a breath and we are there. Consciously, we are always there. Okay. So be in devotion of just watching but not believing. Okay. So that's how it's done. In a nutshell. I know we could talk all day about our individual stories and believe we were saying something that was true and real. So, when you're ready, do you have any comments or questions about deconstruction?
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, love. Morning.
It seems to me that a most important part of this devotion to recognizing thoughts is the word recognizing. There's that alertness to recognizing.
That comes out of the devotion.
Oh.
That recognition comes out of the devotion.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not something I do.
Right.
It comes from the devotion.
Comes out of the devotion.
Beautiful. Oh.
It's not something that you might be thinking that the person is going to do, because there's not a person there to do it. The devotion is the self devoted to itself. It's not a me trying to be devoted to my godliness. There's no me here to do that. It is the God consciousness. It is the self devoted to the self, God devoted to God, consciousness devoted to consciousness, self devoted to self. It's all the same. Because it's not an activity. It's not an action. It's a being. Okay. So there's no one here to do the action or the doing of trying to be devoted to self. It is the self in love with self, devoted to self, out of this love. So can you all see now how we create the story? Well, we picked it up from the forms that we called parents. We picked up our story, carried it forward, and began to embellish and add to and do all of this. So to see it gives the opportunity to deconstruct it, so to speak. I mean, we're not really deconstructing it. We're seeing clearly. We're turning within with the appearances and knowing what is real, what is fantasy.
Mary,
Yes, love.
I was just wondering about denial. I think I've carried over a lot of teachings from Joel, and he gives, I'm trying to remember the example, that if we're running around claiming that we're God's perfect creature and we're completely healthy and we're not. We're just insulting our own intelligence. I don't know if I'm making myself clear or if I'm asking it properly, but I does isn't there some kind of balance here or something? I don't even know if I'm phrasing it correctly, but
Well, the first thing is he's saying that because it is mind, or it is what you would call a personal identity that is saying it is perfect. And that personal identity is not perfect. The personal identity is not healthy. And the main thing there is because there is no personal identity to be healthy or even to be sick. When you are in devotion of being still, that is the perfection. That which is present, which you are, is what is perfect. So yes, in essence, you are the very presence of perfection. In essence, you are the very presence of health and joy and abundance and happiness, in essence. And it is in devotion to what you are that those ideas come into manifestation. But you're not sitting there telling yourself you're perfect. In your devotion, you're just aware of perfection. So you don't have to tell yourself you're perfect. In your devotion, you're just aware of it. And again, it is out from that knowing that the ideals come into manifestation.
Okay, I really like the part that I really like the part about labeling the wrong thing perfect. In other words, that sense of separation. I think maybe that's going to help me a lot.
Right. I think the key from today's talk was that the word difference, that if it's different, it seems to give a sense of separation. Okay. Your form is different from my form, so we're not alike. We're different. But in the understanding of that, yes, we will always visually see differences. Okay. I mean, that pillowcase is a shade off from the one that it's resting on, and they're both supposed to be the same color. I mean, we can
Right.
get down to the nitty-gritty of differences. But if we're in the understanding that all is of the same energy, same essence, same presence, all flows out into manifestation through that, then the differences are all so fantastically beautiful.
Alrighty, thank you.
Mary,
Yes, love.
what came to my mind when you were talking about family and identification is that story in the Bible of King David, and he was considered, he was the youngest in the family. He was considered kind of a lesser person. He was really wasn't even with the family. He tended the flocks away from the family, which I think consisted mainly of boys. And when Samuel was sent to that family to anoint the next king, he all of these great looking sons that were of the house of Jesse, Samuel was told, that's not the one, that's not the one, that's not the one. And he asked, I said, do you have any other kids? I said, yeah, well, you have one, but he's young, he's out in the field, he's just tending flocks. Samuel was told by the voice, bring him here. And that was the one that got anointed as king. And when you talked about, stillness and aloneness, my visualization was that David was alone, but he had spent a considerable amount of his time in contemplation. And I probably never thought I'll be king, of Israel. And yet that's the one that got anointed. So with the family dynamics, where one gets labeled this, one gets labeled that, again, it goes back to what you were talking about, labeling. If you buy into that labeling, you never really see yourself as truth.
Correct.
And David, I'm sure he didn't make a big deal. I'm going to be king. I'm sure it never even came to his mind. And yet, also the story when it came to his conflict with Goliath, he didn't want all that armor and stuff like that. He goes, no, I've got a couple of stones here. Because I've seen what the Almighty can do for me when I've been out in the field, that I'm able to keep the sheep safe with by getting the wildlife away. So that just came to my mind when you were talking about
Right. Did you
labeling.
say, yeah, you protect the sheep and keep, what did you say? Keep the what away? Keep
The wildlife, I
the
think.
wild. Okay. It's just, okay, take that. Wildlife thoughts. Thoughts of separation. That's wildlife. And he was conscious enough to know that in order to protect those sheep, those that do not yet know who they are, to keep that wildlife away from his own mind. To not see them as different, to not see them as something strange, but that they're all the same. Some know who they are and some don't. So he's keeping the wildlife or those thoughts of separation, perhaps from his own mind, because they were all kings. There is nothing left out of the presence of God. There is no separation there. So the whole family, all of those sheep were kings. They didn't know it yet. So there wasn't him and his family. There was only the one presence there, and that presence was called the king. That presence. To be anointed as king, you cannot make someone s something that they already are. I can't make you the presence, you already are that. So, what happens with that anointing is that it brings that awareness into conscious understanding. I am that. I am that.
Thank you.
Welcome, love. So even in our in the Bibles, you have Bible stories, you have to take a couple steps upward and move away from those stories and see them from a different altitude. I think we had something on that several weeks ago, that we see them from a metaphysical place where there is still only this oneness. Even though it appears in that story that he's speaking of separate people, separate persons, and separation. Jeez. Take it a step farther, yeah, in your metaphysical. So we can all see how the story gets created, and now we know how simple it is to do a deconstruction. How simple it is. Loving devotion. So thank you for your comments and questions. I so enjoy that. Any more? So you. Was very, very good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So then let us pray. Most beloved self, I rest in the real That is the one I trust in the life I am. I am grateful for the blessings of this day, and I am content in my being. Thank you, beloved one, that it is so. Amen. Om Namaste.